Galatians chapter 5, we continue a series of messages, Lord continue to lead and bless in it, about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And as Brother Orville Lawson said, the fruit salad of the Spirit, they should come forth all at the same time, but we're going to take them and we're going to pick them out. We're going to pick out those cherries, pick out that pineapple, pick out those different things, pick out these different fruit, take a look at them. And what we want to do is we want to see what the Lord himself says about it. For the most part, see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about these different fruits and what the focus should be. We've taken a look at love and we want to take a look at joy here this morning. But here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or shown forth, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's the way of the world. That's the way of man. That's the way of our depravity. That is the natural way for men, women, boys, and girls to pursue. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That means that there's no filling of those. You can't ever love enough. You can't ever be joyful enough. We can't ever be peaceful enough. We can never be long-suffering enough. We can never be gentle enough. We can never fulfill goodness. We can never fulfill faith. We can never be meek enough. We can never get to the end of being self-controlled or temperate, because there's no law against those. When you take a look at the law says do or the law says don't. And when we abide by it and when we do what the law says, or we refrain from that which the law says to refrain from, we fulfilled it for that time. You can't go beyond it. But in these, there's no filling of them. There's no completing of them. That the Lord takes us on home to be with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for each one that's come this morning. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us that we might worship you in a way that you'd be pleased. Lord, that Jesus Christ might be high and lifted up. And Lord, that you'd take me out of the way and just use me, Lord, to speak the word that you have for us. And Father, that we would hear it. Lord, that we, as your word would say, as word says, that we'd hearken it. Lord, we'd hear it and we obey it. And Lord, for any that are here this morning that are not saved, we pray, Father, that even this moment, even this morning would be the time of their salvation. Lord, that you would visit them, that you would touch them, that you would show them their great need of a Savior. Lord, the great load of sin that they have before you, that they're guilty of, Father, and that condemnation that goes with it and that sure judgment to come of it. We pray, Father, that you would reveal that unto them, and Lord, that they might see Jesus Christ, Lord, the Savior of sinners, Lord, whose blood can wash every sin away, and Lord, whose body was broken, and the suffering of the Lord there on the cross was given to take sins away and pay that atonement, pay that redemption, Lord, so they can be saved. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless in it. Help us to be a good witness to them that you would use, and Lord, that none of us, that none one of us would ever be a stumbling block unto them, but Lord, a help and an encouragement, and that one that would ones that would point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy we want to take a look at. Against such, there is no law. As we've read to you in these other messages, or the other messages on love that we've preached, Matthew chapter 7 tells us, and the Lord gives this on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. By the fruit were given to inspect. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, you don't get apples off of a cherry tree, and never will you get a pear off of a banana tree. It just won't happen. It just won't be that way. But trees bear the fruit that they bear. Do men gather thorns or grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And the thing that we need to remember here, and as the scripture and the word of the Lord tells us, that indeed we are the tillage of the Lord. If you remember the parable about the different types of ground, and the Lord tells us that we are his husbandry, we are his tillage. The Lord Jesus Christ, in those chapters there in the latter part of the book of John, he says, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. So many references made to that which grows, and without him we can do nothing. It is that way. And the Lord telling us and telling us so these things might be driven home to us, that we are to be growing in the Lord as his children. We are to be trees planted by that river of life, that river of water. He says a good tree in verse 18 in Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And take a look at that evil fruit that's there in Galatians chapter 5. We, the children of God, we have our old nature, we have our depravity, we have that which we've been saved from. We have this old man that's the way that he knows, but we need to evaluate, do we go that old way, or do we bear the new man's fruit? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, it says in Matthew 7:19, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Fruit inspectors, we need to take a look at ourselves, and we need to watch and take a look at others. In John chapter 15, verse number 5, the Lord says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Catch that. Abides in the Lord, and the Lord abides in him. Listen, this salvation, this thing of salvation, it's not a reformation. It's not something that we adopt and take onto ourselves, where we cleanse ourselves up, turn over a new leaf, take a new path. But we've been redeemed. We've been touched. We've been given life by the Lord. He lives within us. And he says as much here, he that abideth in me and I in him, if that's the case, the same bringeth forth much fruit. When you put that corn, those of you that have planted gardens and planted some corn this year, you don't put in one kernel, two kernels, and expect to get two back, do you? No, you expect to get a multitude back. Every stalk of corn, you expect to get 2 or 3 ears, don't you? It's the way that it works. That's what Brother Bobby does in his work. He tries to help those farmers make that yield. And that's what's expected. That's what's expected of us in the Lord. He's put his Spirit within us, and he expects us to yield more, to produce more. Good fruit. He says here, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The fruit will show that we're Jesus's disciples. That's the way it is. That's what the Lord says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Do you have the Spirit of God living within? That's what salvation is. The Lord living within. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the point there is that the Spirit of God living within is going to bring forth that blessed, holy fruit. Joy. Let's take a look here first how man's earthly, temporal joy is temporary and not eternal. Luke chapter 8. Take a look over here. Man's joy, the joy of this world, the joy that mankind tries to stir up, it's temporary. It won't last. It has no, absolutely no eternal connection. Man's earthly, temporal joy is just that. It is temporary. It is earthly, and it is not eternal. Here in the parable of the different kinds of the sower and the seed and the different kinds of ground. Look here, you're familiar with this parable, I trust. Let's take a look here on verse number 13. Luke 8, 13. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. These have no root, for which for a little while believe, but in time of temptation fall away. They receive this news about the Lord Jesus Christ being Savior. They hear about how it's great to have the Lord as Savior. They hear about the crucifixion of the Son of God on the cross. And they say, yes, that's a great thing. I believe it. But in time, it gets old. As one brother says, some of you are familiar with, he says to some, why hasn't your eternal life lasted? Why hasn't your eternal life lasted? To those that fall away from the church, those that claim Jesus Christ, and just in short time, they're not to be seen again. Why has not your eternal life lasted? Why is it? Because it was good news for a while, but then when it got time for a trial, when it got time to stand for it, it says in another passage, when there came an offense about the word of God, they were offended and fell away. Man's religion. Man's religion. Taking a little bit of Jesus to suit, it won't last. Acts chapter 7. Man's earthly temporal joy is just that. It is temporary and will not last eternally. Here's Stephen in Acts chapter 7 is preaching to those that are risen up against him. And talking about a ministry that was short-lived, this man ended up in the midst of those that didn't like him. They didn't like what he stood for. They didn't like what he preached. It cost him his life. But it was what the Lord wanted him to preach. In Acts chapter 7, we see here, and we cut in on Stephen's message here in Acts 7, 41. And when they, talking about the children of Israel, made a calf in those days, Acts 7, 41, and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Israel said, where's this Moses? Aaron, make for us gods. Aaron made for the gods, right? He took the gold, threw it in the fire, and a calf jumped out. Remember that account, right? And they rejoiced in what they had done. Man's religion, man's way of serving God, man's way of pursuing God, it won't last. It has no connection to eternity. It is wicked and sinful, and that short-term joy will soon fade away. They rejoiced in the works of their hands, but they found that they were certainly contrary to God. The joy that men have. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The Lord speaks through us through James, the Apostle James, I believe. James the Less, here in James chapter 4. And he says here, even to the children of God, he says in verse number 16, James 4, 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, for all such rejoicing is evil. The brag, the boasting that a man will say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to set my heart to pursue this. It's going to be short-lived. What is there in this earth? What is there upon this earth, that is of man, that you have, that you set up before you, that'll just keep on giving you the same kind of joy, or that joy will increase? Listen, gold tarnishes. Computers and electronics burn out. Boats and cars and vehicles and tools and stuff rust and go away. Houses burn down and they get old and things fall off. What is there? What is there that keeps on giving a joy that's of this earth? There's not. There's not anything. Of those things that man build up and those things that man pursues, of our brag and our boast and our will, it is all short-lived. It'll give us a rejoicing for a time, but it just won't last. It won't last. We got to go back and wax it, polish it, repair it, store it. We got to do something with it, don't we? It just won't last. Look here in Revelation chapter 11. As things intensify in those final days upon this earth, and the Lord is pouring out his wrath, he sent these witnesses to witness to the world of the Lord and his salvation and the dealing with Israel and the dealing with the inhabitants of the earth at this time. These two witnesses are sent, and they're finally put to death. They're finally killed by those that oppose them. They have been tormenting men. They're sent of God to do so because of the wickedness that is upon the earth. And they finally get them killed. They finally get the Lord's two witnesses killed. And in chapter 11 and verse number 9 of Revelation, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies three days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Bury them? No, don't bury them. We want to look at them dead for a while. Look at what they say. Look at what they say. "And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice." They've got joy because they're dead over them, "and make merry." They're going to even send gifts to each other. Send gifts, rejoicing that the two witnesses of the Lord have been killed, have been murdered by Satan and his crowd, by these that are here, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. But it's going to be short-lived, isn't it? Because the Lord's going to give them life and take them right on into heaven. Man's joy just won't last. The joy of this earth and that which comes of this earth and this world and this world system, it will not last. But we take a look, and the Bible has much to say about joy. But what we want to focus on mostly is joy defined by the Lord Jesus Christ during the time of his ministry. The Lord tells us these wonderful things. Matthew chapter 13. Joy defined by the Lord in his life, if you will, his earthly ministry. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44, the parable here about the sowing of the seed, and again the ground and such as that, and how it is that the tares are there. And in verse number 44, the Lord says in Matthew 13, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." The truth of God, that a man has been visited by the Lord, has seen, been caused to see it, that it is the truth. The Lord's kingdom is opened up and revealed to him. And he says, "I'm going to give everything I've got to get it. I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to give up my will. I don't care. I need Jesus and nothing else will do. I need the truth of what God says, and nothing else will do. I want to line up with the Lord. I want to line up with what he says about the kingdom. And I want to take my place in it. And I want to rejoice in it." He says he has joy over it, and it'll last. That's Jesus Christ speaking. That's what the Lord has said. He says everything about the kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. And the man found that treasure. He saw that treasure was there, and he covered it back up and went off and took everything he had, whatever was needing, the land selling at auction, the most that the seller might have. He gives everything so he can have the truth of the Lord. He says it'll give you eternal joy. He rejoices in this treasure that he hath found. For joy thereof, he gives up everything in life to pursue after it, because he says it just won't do to not have Jesus. It just won't do to not have the Lord in his word. I've got to have it. I need it so very much. The joy defined by the Lord, the joy of the truth of God. In John chapter 4 here, the Lord, having dealt with the woman at the well at Sychar and dealing with his disciples here and going and preaching and witnessing to this woman. He must needs go to this place, right? You remember that? He must needs go through Samaria. And then here in John chapter 4 and verse number 36, he says in verse number 34, Jesus saith unto his disciples, they went down there to town to get something to eat. And they come back and they said, eat, master, in verse 31. He said, I've got meat to eat that you don't know anything about, fellas. You need to learn about it, and I'm going to teach you about it. But I've got meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33, therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what I'm here to do. That's number one on my list. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Talking physically about that time that they were, the month that they were in. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life eternal, that both he that soweth, the one that put it in the ground, the one that strode the seed, the one that broadcast it and put it out there, and he that brings it in may rejoice together. The joy in what the Lord has done and what he's doing. There's joy in seeing the Lord work. There's joy in seeing the Lord making good on his promise. There's joy in seeing God bring in the harvest and use us to do it. That joy will last. That joy won't wear out. That person that you were able to witness to and tell about the Lord and tell how the Lord saved you, and the Lord take that and use that and take that witness and take that word that you shared with them and the Lord save them. Listen, there's nothing that'll replace that. There is nothing that'll be in that stead. What money would you take and give in exchange for being a witness of Jesus and what he's done for you, and the Lord take that and save a soul? There is nothing. There is nothing at all to be able to be used, and how it will find out that even in eternity, maybe a witness that we gave, a testimony, a track, a speaking to somebody, talking to folks about how the Lord saved us, telling them about Jesus and his power to save and their great need. And then in eternity, we find out that the Lord took that along the way in their life. We maybe never even saw them again, and the Lord took them and saved them. Listen, there's joy in reaping. There's joy in serving and that is, and sowing. And it says here, the Lord says, he says, I'm not worried about eating. I'm worried about doing what the Father sent me to do. I've got meat to eat that ye know not of. There's joy. There is eternal joy in sowing and reaping. Joy in what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. Over here in John chapter 8. Over here in John chapter 8. Rejoicing, joy in what the Lord has done and is doing. Over here in John chapter 8, as the Lord deals with these Pharisees and that, he's been healing again on the Sabbath. Boy, they're twisted and tore up about him doing these things. And listen to what he says here. They claim Abraham. He talks to them about this honor that they want one of another. He talks that he doesn't need their honor. And he talks here in verse number 56. Listen, your father Abraham, John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Oh, man, this winds them up. They said, you're not even 50 years old, and you're talking about Abraham having seen you? Abraham, by faith, when the Lord, we looked at it a little bit in my Sunday school class this morning. We looked at the promises the Lord gave Abraham. We looked at the long suffering of the Lord with Abram and how the Lord brought him to the point and says, okay, boy, it's time to grow up. Your name's not Abram anymore. Your name is Abraham. And Abraham is not perfect. Oh, but at that point, I believe the man was truly converted. He'd been saved before when the Lord had visited him, but now what God says goes. What God says goes with Abraham. And he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, wasn't it? And he looked ahead to the promise of the blessing, the promise of the multiplying, the promise of the Savior that the Lord would bring through him. There's no joy greater than the Lord seeing the Lord work. There's no greater joy than seeing God bringing his promises to pass and bringing them to come to pass. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Jesus said, and he saw it, and it made him happy. It made him glad. It thrilled him. He rejoiced in it as he was there with his son and with his grandsons, and as he believed God and saw that it was so. In John chapter 14, this joy of seeing what the Lord has done and is doing, it's manifested here in John chapter 14, which I trust you're familiar with if you've attended and heard the study that we had on the Passover and the Lord's Supper. In John chapter 14, verse number 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. What's the Lord talking about there? He says, fellas, the plan's ticking off. The purpose of God is ticking off. Everything the Father's given me to do, I'm completing it. I'm abiding by it. I love it. I desire it. And I'm doing it for you. You would rejoice when it came time for me to go back to the Father. You would understand that I'm going to die and give myself an atonement and shed my blood and give my body for your sins. And that not only that, I'm going to be buried and I'm going to raise from the dead so you can have that no-so eternal life forever with me. That God, joy in what the Lord has done and is doing, that God is bringing his promises to pass. In John chapter 17 here in the Lord's Prayer, in John 17, 13, he says, as he prays there, John chapter 17, verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy of the Lord, the joy seeing what makes Jesus happy, and taking that to ourselves, and that making us happy. That causing us to rejoice. The Lord says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the cross. It says in the scriptures later on, he said he looked beyond the cross. He despised the shame of the cross, but looked for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, because he was going to bring his children on to be with him. By the joy of the Lord and seeing the Lord bring, God bringing his promises to pass. Thirdly, there's joy because of the presence of Jesus. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist saved the Spirit of the Lord upon him and saved from his mother's womb. And here Elizabeth, or here Mary coming to visit, the Holy Spirit of God having conceived within her the Lord Jesus Christ, she goes to visit her cousin. And Elizabeth says in Luke 1:44, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe that was within her leaped in my womb for joy. Why? Because Jesus is near. Because Jesus is close. John the Baptist in the womb of his mother says, hallelujah, my Savior is near. He enjoyed, he loved, even before being born, he loved the presence of Jesus. He loved, he leaped for joy. He's not even been born yet, and he leaps for joy because Jesus is near. Because Jesus is near. Joy because of the presence of Jesus. There's another one that enjoyed the presence of Jesus, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Got this tax collector. He seems to be he's a chief amongst them. He's a short fella. It's hard for him to see over the crowd. He gets up in a tree so he can see the Lord coming, because he had heard that the Lord was coming a certain way. And verse number 5 of Luke chapter 19, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, hurry up, boy, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. He scurried down that tree and came down and received Jesus. How? Joyfully. The presence of joy because of the presence of Jesus. Joy because Jesus is near. Joy because the Savior is coming and visiting me at my house. Amen? Because the Lord is coming near to me. Oh, of all the hundreds, maybe even thousands that were there, Jesus is coming to my house. Jesus is coming to eat and be with me. The Lord says in John chapter 16, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, speaking to his disciples there between the hymn and Gethsemane, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, church, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. Listen, but I will see you again. I'll see you soon. I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And listen, and your joy no man taketh from you. Why? Because Jesus will be near. Joy, the joy of the presence of Jesus. Do you like being in the presence of Jesus? Do you like having the Lord being close to you? Do you like fellowshipping with the Lord, being with the Lord, walking with the Lord? The fruit of the Spirit of joy will show that that is indeed so with you. Next, the joy that sinners have repented and been saved. Luke chapter 15, just a few pages. Luke chapter 15. The Lord here given different parables and such. Talks about a sheep. And in verse number 5 he says, and when he's found it, this man that's lost this sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders and comes rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. It was talked about missionary work and missionary work being done, and seemingly that few are reached at times. And there is a responsibility of a missionary to do a good and right and righteous work before the Lord. It is so that a man needs to be found worthy and responsible in the work that the Lord's called him to. But if just one soul is saved in a work that's done, can you put a price on it? Does God care about the money? The Lord doesn't care one bit about the money. Now, you and I, if we could get our hearts wrong, get our hearts hard, get our hearts cold, and the man's doing a good work, we might care about the money. And granted, I understand there is responsibility that the man needs to be abiding by. But can you put a value on a soul? Who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? I think God does, doesn't he? He does. And if he's called the man to go, and he's worked within us in his church to show us and give us leadership that we should support such a thing, then let it be. Let it go on and let it be. And let us give of ourselves for that work that the Lord has called the man to do. There's joy. There's joy. He goes on in here in verse number 8. And he says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Rejoicing over a sheep, rejoicing over a piece of lost money. What's the Lord go on to say? Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in the presence of the angels of God. If it's not the angels that's rejoicing, who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the Lord that's rejoicing. It is the Lord that's rejoicing over those that he brings and those that repent and believe and that he saves. It is Jesus that's rejoicing. If it makes Jesus happy, should it not make you and me happy? Amen. It's good to see folks saved. It's good to see the harvest. It is wonderful to see when the Lord moves and works, and there is joy in that. In Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10. Verse number 17. Time for Bibles to shut, huh? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to see that when we meet together to worship, we meet together to worship, we come to worship the Lord. You don't come to hear me necessarily, but hear the Word of God. May the Lord help us that we not give up on the message of the Lord and the Word of the Lord. Consider that before the Lord and think about it. Luke chapter 10, verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice that I've given you this power to do these things. Don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in the touch of the Lord upon your life. Rejoice that your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May the Lord help us to see what is important to the Lord. The Lord goes on here in verse number 21. Listen to what he says. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He was joyful in spirit because of this that he says, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and from the prudent, and it was revealed them unto babies, unto those that have no power, unto those that have no strength. Revealed it unto those who are weak. Revealed your truth and salvation to those that are truly in need. Oh, the Lord rejoiced from it, and we need to rejoice and joy in it. Joy because of the Lord's care for us and our care one for another. In John chapter 15, these things, the Lord says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We look on at the Lord, and we see what he rejoices over. And it need be that we take and we adapt that joy to ourselves. His joy remaining in us. What the Lord is thrilled by. What the Lord is joyous about. What the Lord loves that we should love. As we saw there in our study in the Lord's Supper about how the Lord washed the feet of the disciples there as he had them there together after instituting the Lord's Supper and observing the Passover. And he showed them about how we need to serve one another. And he says, happy are ye if you do these things. Not the washing of feet, but the willing to be submissive and a servant one of another in the Lord's church. Next, joy when we have been given that which we have asked of the Father's name. In John chapter 16, take a look over here. John chapter 16, and we surely need to be a thankful people. We need to thank the Lord for every one of his blessings. We certainly do. But the Lord has given us a command here, and we need to see what he says and the purpose of it. In John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You want to have joy filled up? You got a trial, you got a problem, you got a blessing. We go to the Lord in prayer. We ask Him to help us. We ask Him to deliver us. We thank Him for His blessing. We ask Him to move and work upon the sinner that needs salvation. We ask Him to move and work upon that one that is very sick, that's very ill, that the doctors have given up on. Whatever the case may be, we have a need, and there's just no way that we, by our work, by our money, by our family, by our friends, by any, that we can't, the need cannot be met. And we pray to the Lord, and the Lord does in a miraculous way, brings it to pass and meets the need, that our joy might be full. That when we ask, not asking amiss, but asking for that which we desire, asking for that which we see that the Lord, we need the Lord's help in humbling ourselves and petitioning the Lord that He would move and work on our behalf when we can do nothing, when we are weak, and He does. We ought to rejoice in it, and that's what He tells us that it should be. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Next, joy when we suffer persecution, rejection, and hardship for Jesus' sake. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 20, and He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." He says, be joyful in that day, rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. He says, rejoice in it, because the reward in heaven will be great. When we suffer persecution, when we suffer that separation, when we suffer that where we take a stand for what the Lord say and saying that Jesus says this in His word. Jesus says that in His word. I can't go there. I must do this because Jesus says that I should or should not, or whatever the case may be. And we're rejected of the world. We're rejected even of our own. The Lord says, leap for joy. Rejoice in that day, for your reward is great in heaven, because as they rejected the Lord, we are a partaker of His sufferings in that respect, and there is a blessing, a joyous blessing indeed in it. And considering that and trying to serve the Lord and meet the calling that He's called me with here to be your pastor, I think here of Hebrews chapter 12, and we all need to be reminded of this, and as we try to be a witness to folks, and some receive it, and some reject it, and some are just kind of in the middle. It's the case, way it is. But we need to remember this here, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who was joyful to fulfill the will of the Father, who was joyful to accomplish those things that He was sent to do, who was joyful to redeem His people given to Him by the Father, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What that's talking about in verse number 3 is that the Creator came down and was subject to the created, and He endured it. Which when the created stood up against Him, He should have zapped them. He should have zapped us. He should have done away with us. No, but He endured it because it needed to be done, that God needed to provide a Savior for wicked sinners, for His people. And that was the only way it could be done, for the Son to give Himself. And listen to what it says here in verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I haven't. I don't know about you, but I haven't. In our day and in our age, at least at this time, what we have generally is when we stand for the Lord is mental anguish, isn't it? It's mental anguish, mental rejection, and those that would shun us and those that would throw back the head at us and those that would reject us with words or that. It's not cost me any life. It's not cost me any blood. But it sure did the Lord, didn't it? On my behalf. And it says that he was joyful in it. Rejoice in that day when you're rejected because you've got a great reward in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the apostle says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Lord suffered. The Lord came. He was rejected of men. He was abused. He was discounted as nothing. But he, because of that, will be exalted by the Father. And those that bear with him in those same kind of sufferings will be exalted with him. Doesn't that make you happy? Amen, it should. Amen, it should. It should do it. And then lastly, there's the joy of serving the Lord and eternal blessing with him. Matthew chapter 25, the Lord here giving another parable about these that he had given a stewardship, a responsibility. And these different talents that are these goods that are delivered unto these servants while the Lord was away. And in verse 21, the Lord says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to one that had been faithful with that which had been left him. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Listen to this. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Eternal blessing by the Lord. The Lord, when they had strife amongst the disciples there at the time, nearing the Lord's crucifixion and nearing the time of the Passover observance and the Lord's Supper, and they had strife amongst one another, and they were talking about who's going to be the biggest, who's going to be the greatest, and the Lord said, no, it's not going to be that way amongst you. It's not going to be that way in the church. It's not going to be that way amongst my people. It's not going to be the way the world works, where they've got chiefs and underlings and underlings and underlings and that. It's not going to be that way. He says, I've appointed unto you to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, you serve me, I'll take care of the rest. You serve me and follow me, I'll take care of esteeming you. I'll take care of calling you up to where you need to be. I'll take care of giving your lot in the last day. See, listen, anybody in this life that lives and tries to establish a legacy for themselves won't get it accomplished. Hear that? Anybody in this life that tries to establish a legacy for themselves by which they will be remembered will not get it accomplished. A legacy is established by just going on and doing what the Lord bids you to do. If the Lord wants you to have a name, he'll give you a name. He'll give you a legacy. And if the Lord doesn't want us to have a legacy, then so be it. His will be done. But anyone that tries to self-promote themselves, it will not be accomplished. The Lord said, you've been faithful over a little bit. I'll make you a ruler over many. And he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. The eternal blessing of the Lord. Eternity with him and the responsibility in that eternity that God has given, it will be a joy indeed. Will that joy fade away? No, sir. It sure won't. And he goes on and he says it again in verse number 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of the Lord. Joy defined by the Lord. That the joy of the Lord or the joy of the Lord is the truth of God, that joy in what the Lord has done and is doing, joy because of the presence of Jesus, joy that sinners have repented and been saved, joy that your name is written in heaven, joy because of the Lord's care for us and our care one for another, joy when we have been given that which we have asked in the Father's name and ask of the Father in Jesus' name, and He gives it, joy when we suffer persecution, rejection, and hardship for Jesus' sake, remembering that the reward in heaven will be great. Joy, the joy of serving the Lord and His eternal blessing. And so the Lord challenges us about our joy in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, and the Lord's provision there, and those that the Lord has called, and the building of the city and Jerusalem and the gates and the wall and all those things. He says there in Nehemiah 8, 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Go ahead and partake of the blessing of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice in those things that the Lord gives us and that He rejoices in. In Philippians 4, verse 4, the Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's a command to us in His church. Rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16, the Scripture says, rejoice evermore. Not in the things of the world, not in those things temporal, not in those things earthly, not in those things of men, but rejoice in the things of the Lord. What makes the Lord joyful? Those things are that which we are to rejoice in. Do you and I manifest the fruit, the joy fruit of the Spirit? Do you and I, do we manifest the joy fruit of the Spirit? Has our joy fruit waxed cold? Do we have any joy fruit at all? Remember, the Lord says in John chapter 4, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Remember in Romans chapter 8 it says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, save child of God, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and that is witnessed and evidenced by is their fruit. Is the fruit of the Spirit there? No fruit of the Spirit there, no Spirit there. May the Lord help us to see. May the Lord help us to make our calling and election sure. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Against such there is no law. To you, those of you that are this morning that are here and not saved, we've taken a look at the Lord Jesus Christ, mostly in His ministry and how He defined what joy is. Joy, rejoicing, happiness. What the Lord would esteem would be fruit. And this fruit of joy. There is yet a joy that every child of God has, and that joy is looking forward to seeing the Lord face to face. In Acts chapter 2, take a look over here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching, and we catch a thing that he says here in verse number 26 as he's preaching to the folks there on the day of Pentecost. And he says in verse number 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Verse number 28. For thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Peter here is using a reference in Scripture of David. And David writes that he looks forward to seeing the face of his Savior. That by looking and seeing the face of his Savior, by seeing the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be joyful. There's a joy and a hope that the children of the Lord have. And listen to you that are here this morning and not saved. Listen to this. Of seeing the Savior face to face. He said, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance, David prophesies. The child of God is waiting. The child of God is waiting to see their Savior face to face. to see Jesus face to face. How is it with you? If you're here and not saved, I dare say you don't look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. It says in Revelation chapter 6 that those that are there in that day seeing the works of God and the plagues upon the earth and those things that are being poured out, that they'll say, listen, verse number 6 or chapter 6 of Revelation, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and listen and hide us from the face. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Joy at beholding the face of Jesus. But if you're here without Jesus as your Savior, you don't want to see his face. I dare say you're afraid to see his face. You should well be. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, John says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. You're not ready to see the face of Jesus. You're not prepared to see the face of the Lord. It says there, the earth and heaven fled away from his face, and there was found no place for them. Our desire for you is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that it may be so for you. As the Scripture says in Revelation 22:4, for those that the Lord has saved, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We desire that you be saved, that you repent, believe, and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray that the Lord will save your soul, and that you would receive him by obedience and repentance and faith in the Lord. The Lord save your soul, that you might have joy and have that hope of looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face, so that you might have true joy, and that it may be eternally full. How about you this morning? The joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit that is joy. Child of God, do you have it? Do you rejoice and have joy in the right things? You rejoice and have that joy because of the Lord and what he's done, what he's promised, what he's brought to pass, for his touch upon you, for saving your soul. Do you have joy in hearing sinners about sinners being saved? Do you have joy about the Word of God being fulfilled? Do you have joy, the fruit of joy in your life? You that are not saved, we want that joy for you. We want that eternal joy for you. It's only found in Jesus Christ.